So at Alliance Girls, what are your, how is your time there? What do you,
okay, so
academically and otherwise, do you now get into other things or is it just academic? Yeah.
So first of all, remember Alliance is, let's say 400 kilometers away.
Yeah.
Again, another travel, and I loved it. And I love the independence because, you know, coming from a family of eight, everything was hand-me-downs, you know, when you're the last girl. So I love the fact that I started, I owned my first towel, my first bed sheets, a suitcase. Yeah. I mean, for me, that was freedom.
Like yours.
Yes. Yeah. And on reflection, the day I left Form 1, I've never gone back home in terms of now I'm going to stay again. It will be going back to visit because I went and flew completely. So it's my dad is the one who took me, and that time there was Akamba buses. It's a long time. So the first day, you know, reporting to school, that was I think end of January thereabouts, going to Feb. And from there on I was on my own. So I traveled by myself, as I said, those times it was pretty safe to do so. Then we had you get in, you're from Kitale, and you meet this clique of children from Nairobi. You've never been to Nairobi except as going while through, with your seven other siblings and your parents. And, you know, they know each other. So I hardly knew. I was the only one who went to a national school in my year, if I remember correctly. And then, you know, you're meeting all these other tribes. You know, there are tribes I never knew existed, like the Subas. There was West Pokot. I don't know, in my head.
Those were places.
Yeah, those were places. You learn in geography, but you've never actually met that person. So I think the fact that we were quite mixed, there were guys from Coast, there were guys from Western, you know, a very big intake, of course, based on the district focus system. And then February comes and you're given this list of boys and you're told select a boy, a boy's name, and send them a Valentine's letter and gift.
Oh, wow.
The boys were from across. We used to call it across. The Alliance High School. And here you are. I was barely 12. I was 12 going to 13.
You must have been like the youngest.
Yes, I was the youngest. And, you know, you've been brought up knowing boys are bad. You know, don't talk to boys, you'll get pregnant. Then here you're suddenly given a list and you don't even know what Valentine's is. So I think that was a major culture shock for me. But I liked the fact that it had a mentorship. So the Form 2s would be given a Form 1, 2.
Small sister,
So it was like you say mother and daughter. And they would take you through the school rules. They'll help you adjust. So I was told what Valentine's was. I wrote to a guy who never replied anyway. So, but I enjoyed my stay in Alliance. I think it really molded me in terms of the discipline, in terms of also the fact that they put in a lot of emphasis on extracurricular activities, though I didn't take... I don't remember taking any because at the back of my head, I remember my mom telling me as she bids me by, now nisikie umejoin sijui drama. Loosely translated, let me hear, I don't want to hear that you've joined the drama club or whatnot.
You've not gone there to play.
No, you've not gone, you go there to read, And of course, she'd read for you how she sacrificed. I think we need to stop guilt tripping our children. But I find myself doing this, doing it with my children, where you're telling them, I've worked so hard to take you to school. You know, it's they didn't ask to be born, so it's your duty.
They need to live their life, independent of us.
Yes, and you need to stop guilt tripping. So we had, what I remember and I appreciate the school for are the fact is the fact that we were allowed to mingle with boys. And I think that brought a healthy relationship with the opposite sex. Because if I reflect on some of the behaviors and attitudes of my friends in campus who came from strict, let's say, Catholic schools or whatnot, there was this excitement that hit them when they were in university that, oh, they are, you know, people of the opposite gender here. So for us, that transition wasn't there because you are made to do dances, joint dances. So you go, you're put in a hall, and they put music and you're supposed to dance. So some of us were wallflowers. Others who knew each other would hook up. We had joint movies. We had joint fellowships. Then we also had, at that time, visiting was every weekend. So for those who had relatives around, you know, they would come. And I like that, you know, some people would share because some of us were never visited by our parents because of the distance. But we had siblings who'd now come and visit. But just the fact that after, you know, visiting day, you'd find, you know, in the dormitories, people would share whatever stuff, you know, food. Food was very important in high school, I guess. So it had a positive impact. And even in terms of career, again, the choices were there. There were many. So we'd have people coming over to talk to us about what they were doing. So I think that exposure was good. And this is almost three decades later. We are still we have a close-knit relationship with people from, you know, the same year of high school.
That's really nice.
Yeah, and I think it's just born from the fact that we grew up as sisters. But the other day we were chatting in our WhatsApp group, and and there were people who had horrid experiences.
The same kind of exposure.
What, so I guess
bullying?
I think it's just the culture change, or I don't know. But they're very personal experiences. I wouldn't say there was bullying. There wasn't bullying in our time. But just going to say that you can have the same exposure but different experiences. But on my side, I am very proud to say I went to Alliance. As people enjoy us with that, I went to Alliance slogan because it molded me. It drilled in me discipline in academics and even socialization, because we'd have outings to the hospital, PCA Kikuyu, just to interact with the patients. I think on a Sunday afternoon, we'd have Sunday school. Some people would go teach Sunday school. We had an old people's home. We'd go visit. So I think that kind of exposure really helped us to appreciate the community around us. And that one I appreciate the school for.
That's good. And it's also building on to your view of the world, you know, your larger perspective of life coming from, you know, the different areas, Mombasa, Kitale, then now here. So you finish your time there, and you, how do you exit and begin transitioning? What happens next?
So I finish my time there. So during the half terms, because we had half terms, I'd go visit my sister in that time. No, my sister was staying with me. She was staying with my stepbrother. I have a stepbrother, I forgot to mention. So we are nine, technically. And that time he was staying in Dandora. And you know, for me, I didn't have a social class kind of mindset. So I remember coming back and saying the way I had a nice time. In went to Nairobi, I went to stay in Dandora. And you know, this, you know, there's a pin drop silence, like, so I'm wondering what is it? It's later when someone told me, okay, Dandora is not an affluent place, you know, the way others will say Kilimani, Karen, whatever. But you know, to me, it was my brother's place. It was a break. It was big Nairobi. So I think that was one of the times where I started noticing that we had social strata. I don't know. It's something that I found strange, because we were not brought up to see. Of course, growing up, we'd know that there'll be workers, or if you go shags, you'd see the conditions people are living in. But I think it just didn't hit me that that those would affect how we relate to each other. And I think that was the first time that I started noticing that people are actually perceived from where they come from, what they wear. Which is sad, really. So finished finished high school and then went to stay with one of my sisters. She just had children. And I was like the house girl at that time. And I remember she has OCD. Oh my goodness. OCD is obsessive compulsive disorder. And I'm the total opposite. So she'd want, those times we didn't have diapers, it was napkins.
Napkins, yeah.
So she'd want the napkins hung in a certain way. And you know, napkins are almost square, but they're actually rectangles.
Yeah.
So you have to be very keen to know which is the longer side. And she had this particular, I didn't last long. I said, I can't do this. So I wrote to my mom, and I remember writing to her, because those days we used to write letters. And it was also the first time I noticed that life in Nairobi was about hustling, because growing up in Kitale, there's food.
Right.
Even if you're poor, there's food. You can't starve. So ugali was in plenty. You cook extra expecting many guests, people. And then in Nairobi, in my sister's house, she was, you know, she'd count every head and then apportion a certain
a little
cup portion. Of flour. And I think she still reminds me to date. I wrote to my mom and I said, you know, this house, people are starving. Like, she has to pima the ugali and then even slice it first. So it goes to the table and it's already sliced. That's another culture shock that I got coming to Nairobi. Because I'm like, how do you... But she was staying with many people, including myself. She had relatives from her husband's side and us guys. And I guess
That needed to happen.
Yeah. But I wasn't so happy about it.
Yeah.
But I mostly moved because of the napkin issue. And I went to stay with with my second born sister.
Yeah.